right, we'll call to order the Stevensville Town Council meeting for Thursday, July 11th, 2019. Time is 7 o'clock. We'll do the roll call. Councilmember Michelson.
Here.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Here.
Councilmember Cruz.
Here.
And Councilmember Barker is absent tonight. If you please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. First item under the council's consideration tonight is approval of the biweekly claims. Claims number 15251 through 15307. Ms. Holcomb.
Do we not have their minutes?
We don't have minutes, sorry. Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we approve a biweekly claims number 15251 through 15307, totaling $37,465.97.
Is there a second? Mr. Michelson?
I second that.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Mr. Michelson to approve claims 15251 through 15307, totaling $37,465.97. Question on the claims from council. Ms. Holcomb.
Claim number on page 6, claim number 15282 for Donaldson Brothers for the concrete. I'm a little confused. We paid for the tree removal, and now we're paying for this, but according to the budget, the town was only supposed to be liable for the $1,454 in kind. So
the Donaldson Brothers bill is our contribution to the in-kind amount of $1,400.
That takes us over with that tree removal.
The tree removal is not part of the kiosk project. For the questions on the claims. Mr. Cruz.
I have a question. Like earlier this week, there was a problem with check being written and then being stopped. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. So we wrote an out-of-cycle check due to a council meeting not occurring last week. That check was for the community's fireworks display. The fire department was headed to Billings that weekend following the scheduled council meeting to pick up those fireworks, so they need that check ready. We wrote the check out of cycle. Subsequently then, the next day after the check was written and signed, Council President Michelson went to the bank and placed a stop payment on that check, which was attempted to be reversed. However, today I was notified that that reversal did not occur in time, and the check hit the account and was stop paymented. It did not go through. We rectified the situation through a ACH. So the vendor got his funding.
Okay, so the $37 question is this purchase budgeted? Where did we get the money to do this at?
There is spending authority in the general fund budget to cover the expenditure. However, that expenditure is reimbursable through sponsorships.
Do we have sponsors?
There are sponsors.
How many and how much?
I don't know the exact dollar amounts of those sponsors at the moment. I know that the Fort Owen Ranch and Farmer State Bank both indicated or promised that they would contribute.
Well, the question I have is this is a large expenditure, and didn't see it in the budget, and it's over $1,501, so that requires prior council approval before you can do this.
It was in the budget. This is a discussion item that happened in the fiscal year 18-19 budget. At length, we talked about fireworks and where they lived in the budget. The parks budget saw more expenditures this year than we had anticipated, but the spending authority existed in the general fund to make those expenditures. We had an obligation and we paid it. Much like the snow removal. Mr. Michelson.
My question to you, Mr. Mayor, is how could you override a thing that should have been cleared through council? Why did they have to go out of cycle? And I've asked you on an email to provide me with the details of the funding, whether it was private, both businesses. And you had made a, I sent a link to you, or you had made a reply to the KPAX News that you had already had achieved over $4,000 of donations to private and businesses. So I'm curious where we got the funding from. I'm curious how you can just pay for it. I'm curious that I saw the check and I saw the invoice, and the invoice was had nothing to do with the town. The invoice was marked to Jeff Motley.
Actually, the invoice was marked to Stevensville Fire Department.
Right.
Attention, yeah. Jeff Motley. Like many of our invoices for the fire department are, okay, since he's the fire chief.
Okay. The invoice goes back to the previous year and even the year after that.
It does not. Those dates you see on that column in the invoice are the dates that the fireworks company received that product. The date on the invoice was in June of 2019.
I just have a problem that we just paid for something without council approval. I just really have a problem with this. We did not approve the fireworks last year in the budget. Last year, Fort Owens donated $2,500. Farmers State Bank donated $1,500. The Civic Club paid some because we have meticulous notes on this. I just don't see how you would ramrod this through without council approval just to take it out of the general fund.
Well, Mr. Michelson, to clarify, I had every intention of bringing it before council, but that meeting had been canceled. That claim was was scheduled to come before council's claims at the June 25th meeting. But that meeting was canceled.
You could have brought it up at the special meeting.
No, because the fireworks had been picked up by then. So this isn't a claim under consideration for the council tonight. If this is something you'd like to elaborate on further, I suggest you put forward an agenda item. Any further questions on the claims before you tonight?
Do you have all the receipts and everything handy?
I don't. They're on the desk. Do you have a question about a specific claim?
It's just customary that all the receipts should accompany the claim that the council table and then go through it.
They're usually with the treasurer if she's in attendance of the meeting, he or she. We don't have a treasurer tonight. I can go get the bills if you'd like them, but if you have a specific question, I'm happy to answer it. No further questions from council. Public comment on the claims before council tonight. All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Cruz?
No.
Okay, motion passes 2-1. Move on to administrative reports. Let's see the airport manager here tonight who has submitted a report. The building department has a report for your review in the packet. Finance reports, I'm happy to answer any questions on the finance reports tonight. And police department has a report. Excuse me, I won't skip over the fire department. Chief Motley's in attendance. Chief?
So for the month of June, you have 59 requests for service, 21 of which were within the town, 36 were within the district, and 2 requests for mutual aid. We had 43 medical responses, 11 fire calls, and 5 motor vehicle accidents or crashes for a total of 51. Year to date, we're sitting at right at 306. I don't know if that really counts what we ran today, but right around the 306 mark for the year to date. 122 of which are within the town, 174 within the district, 10 mutual aids. 237 of those 306 are medical responses, 49 fires, and 20 motor vehicle crashes. So we're continuing to run like we normally have. Basically, we're really supporting the medical needs of the community. motor vehicle crashes at 20, that's a pretty substantial size number. We visualated out today to another MBA with Victor. It's crazy out there on the highway, as we all know, as we travel, we drive up and down it, and we see, and we just need to be diligent and aware of what's going on around us, and be as safe as we can when we're out there and about in the community. But as far as the fire department and the town and the district working together cooperatively, it's working great, as it always has, and hopefully will continue to. we just keep on serving the community the best we can, the best of our abilities, and away we go. Point of clarification, though, regarding the fireworks, the fire department does not do the fireworks. So, the fire chief is the jurisdiction with authority over the fireworks. That puts it back on my table. So when we decided that we were going to do a public show, it came back to the fire chief having the jurisdictional authority over doing that. And I took that on and I went, you know, went to training, and Trevor went to training with me. We were both trained and certified to do a show like that. It just happens that I am the fire chief and I run and go do those things. But the trip to Billings was not a fire department trip. That was a trip to go pick up the fireworks for the town's display. That's where that comes from. And those funds that support that show are donated funds from within the community. And if there are questions regarding the show, I would appreciate it if the council would come to me as a jurisdiction having authority and ask me those questions. I can definitely answer them for you at any time. I'm available 24/7. So if you have questions on those things, feel free, please call me. Gladly explain what's going on and how it's happening and why and how come. It's not my personal pleasure show. If you've ever seen a show like that get lit off, there is no personal pleasure enjoyment in lighting off a show like that. Believe me, you're ducking and covering and all that. I've not seen that show. I've never seen the display in the sky because I'm loading and unloading and trying to light a show. So it's not my personal pleasure thing. It's not something. It's something that I'm doing for the community. It is my opinion as the fire chief and member of the fire department and director of your guys' fire service within the town is that if we can do a public show like that sponsored by the town or local community businesses, whatever, where we can take that type of an apparatus, an explosion, firework display, whatever, and put it in a controlled environment off of our public streets, that's a win for the whole community. And if we can do that, this is our second year of doing that, and if we can drive the community to go, oh no, they're going to do a nice show, it's going to be down at the park, we're going to be able to make an event out of it and get it off of our streets, I think the world will be a better world, a better neighborhood, and it's less confusion for the neighborhood, pets, and whatever we have. And believe me, there's a fair amount of fallout from doing a show like that, of paper and wrappers and all that stuff, that we go down, we clean back up the next day, and we can get that off of our streets. I think it's better for the whole community if we can direct it to a controlled environment versus everybody doing whatever they want to do. And yes, it's perfectly legal for the citizens to do what they do and do all that. I'm not saying it's not illegal, and I'm not trying to ban the fireworks by anybody, but if we can get a more controlled environment, I think we'll be ahead.
Mr. Michelson.
I have a question for you, Jeff.
Sure.
It's in the correspondence letter tonight from Lorraine Roach. She's been getting reports or from some phone calls about the Western Heritage Day fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have a few phone calls from some people that were concerned that the fireworks are set up on Main Street, Montana. I went back into the May 23rd packet and listened to the audio, and we as a council did sign off on for the event. Fireworks was not on the event. It was talked about alcohol and security. And but Mrs. Howell got up here on the podium, and she also stated that there would be fireworks. So Stacy, fellow council member Stacy Barker, had to re-amend her motion to include the fireworks. But she did not state in the audio where the fireworks would be. And of course, it was all supposed to be signed off by you. Now, my big question to you, Jeff, was this was during the height of a water restriction in the town. And I would think, just myself, that as a safety issue, wouldn't we have put a stop to the fireworks as far as not only downtown here, which would be a heck of a liability, one case would be the Stevensville Cafe that got burned. And number two, with the water restriction that we had, wouldn't it have been safe just to shut the fireworks down? I know we can't go back now, but in the future, shut the fireworks down for lack of water restriction. We had no water. We had people that were supposed to be down on just very limited water use, but yet fireworks are popping all over town. My question is, why wouldn't somebody responsible sit in and put an executive order to this to stop the fireworks during a water-restricted event, a water-restricted that was put on the town?
So in answer to your question, I took all those things into consideration prior to signing off on the event. I was in contact with the mayor and the water department, and it was said and felt that we would have water restored in time for the event. One, two, fireworks that were going to be displayed, launched, are very high aerial type devices. I didn't feel that there was a huge threat to the community of a fire, and so I signed up on it. I took all those things under advisement and weighed them and considered it and used my professional opinion and my knowledge and all that of one fire, fire protection, fireworks, and those displays, and signed off on it.
Mr. Cruz.
Mr. Mayor, I wish you and the department had been on the same page, because I received an email from you that says, prudent council members will take care to deal with staff and department heads through the mayor to avoid any possibility of disrupting the supervisor chain of command, which is why the questions were directed to you.
The questions that are being asked of Chief Motley aren't necessarily being asked of me.
The questions I asked were directed toward you. Okay. When council...
So do we have a question from here?
Point of order?
When council discusses, we talk to you. We don't talk necessarily to the person at the podium or anybody else. We're supposed to hold our conversations here. And people up out there, when they come to the podium, they direct all their comments to you. That's the way it works, not to us. And the only time we should reply is when we go through you to reply. And I guess Chief Motley has a fire probably needs to get to, so I'm done.
Noted. Thanks, Chief. All right, the police department report has been provided to you on the table tonight. It was not included in your packet, but the police department was able to provide that. And the public works director is not here tonight to give his report, so we'll follow up with a written report for the council here soon.
Before we leave administrative reports?
Yes.
Building department report. Not having been here for a while, I'm a little concerned about the way we're organized. Who is our zoning administrator now?
It is the mayor.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, we'll move on to guests. We have Tyler Currents here with Housing Solutions to give a presentation on the Nicole Court housing project. And maybe a PowerPoint.
If all this starts to lie, we may have a PowerPoint for you. Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I guess first thing, I'm not Tyler Currents. He's joined me tonight. My name is Alex Burkhalter, and I hope to walk you through a quick overview of the Nicole Court affordable housing proposal that we're working on with the Human Resource Council. So before we jump right in, I was going to say a quick bit about who we are, how we go about providing affordable housing, who this housing is for, and then of course lastly and probably most importantly, what is being proposed for Stephenville. Ah, good work. There we are. Thank you. So go ahead and go on to the next one. As I said, my name is Alex Burkhalter, and our firm Housing Solutions specializes in affordable rental housing. Also working on this Nicole Court project, we're actually the consultant, the developer, and long-term owner of it, will be the Human Resource Council. I don't know if that's a group that any of you are familiar with. They're a 55-year-old agency working in River Valley, Missoula, and Mineral Counties, who is continually advocating for housing, health, education, training, and employment of lower-income people. So that's our partner that you have to imagine that's here tonight. We develop housing using a program called Housing Tax Credits. Go ahead, thank you. And Housing Tax Credits is actually a federal housing program. It was enacted in 1986, which is now two tax reform programs ago under Reagan. It's been incredibly successful. 90% of the new affordable rental housing in our country is formed with this. I think part of the great success of it is it's not administered by the federal government. They push the decision-making authority down to the states. It also comes from a public-private partnership. The housing credit's a public resource. Has private entities like myself and the Human Resource Council competing with other groups who can kind of bring the best bang for the buck. It's not a rental subsidy. Rather, it is a subsidy that helps offset some of the construction costs. As we can kind of see it there in a conventional rental development, a developer would bring maybe 30% equity and 70% debt and the corresponding loan service that comes with that. In a housing credit project, it's actually flipped. The housing credit provides an additional incentive for equity, you have lower debt, lower loan payments, therefore lower, able to offer lower rents. In Montana, the state agency that administers the housing program is called Montana Housing. It just changed their name a couple of years ago, so I'm still struggling. But it's a part of the Department of Commerce. They monitor projects that are under development and throughout their operations, as well as choose which projects will receive the limited funds. One thing to note about it's a difficult job for them is there's a very strong demand for housing credits. We'll come back to that in just a minute. Another thing, who do housing credit projects serve? Federally, the program says there are four households that earn 60% or below of the area median income. So in Ravalli County, that would, for a four-person family, it's scaled based on family size, so I just picked four. It would be people who are earning at or below $41,000. For comparison's sake, all of Ravalli County, the area median income is about $56,000. You can see that in the red and gray bars on the screen there. So who are these folks? Well, many community members, teachers, starting off police officers, all kinds of people actually qualify to live in this housing, as well as those who make significantly less. You know, we also often serve elderly on a fixed income. Social Security, with just a little bit more, would be enough to take advantage of this type of housing. Also important are folks who are challenged with disabilities. Maybe they have a physical disability or a mental disability that means they can't work full-time or as much or at all. And that's a group that's very important to the Human Resource Council to care for. Go ahead. I mentioned earlier that it's very competitive. Basically, over the last 5 or 6 years, what we've seen is a 4-to-1 ratio. For every dollar that the federal government makes available to the state of Montana, there is $4 in application. So super competitive, whether it's number of projects or dollars requested. It's very competitive. And this year was no different. And here's how we start getting a little closer to Stevens. This is a list of the letters of intent that were submitted this year, 16 total, which is kind of on par, actually down a little bit from previous years. Those letters totaled 86 million in requests. Montana only has about 31 and a half million available. And the way that the board deals with awarded credits is people submit letters of intent, which we did with Human Resource Council for Stevensville for this particular project. And then towards the end of May, they narrowed this list down to 8. Their program says we'll receive as many letters of intent as people want to submit. And then the first cut, so to speak, will narrow it down to 8. So I'm standing here because Stevensville made the cut. And this is pretty exciting for ourselves and Human Resource Council, as the HRC has been pursuing this project for a number of years. I believe this is actually their 5th or 6th bite at the apple, so to speak. And so it's exciting now, as our odds are much better. This group of 8 projects will be narrowed down to probably 5, maybe 6, depending how final applications come in. So that's a bit about the program. Oh, I forgot to say, or stop me at any time, or I'll love to answer questions at the end. This is a pretty complex thing. I've been married for close to 14 years now, and my mother-in-law, somewhat jokingly, thinks that I may be in the witness protection program because I travel all around. She can't understand what I do, but I take decent care of her daughter, so she's pretty happy with me. But anyway, go ahead. A bit about Nicole Court itself. or you go ahead and go one more, actually. Nicole Court is proposed to be 16 homes, built in fourplexes and duplexes. It'll be new construction, 2 and 3 bedroom apartment homes, with rents ranging between $475 and $675. In addition to the homes and the rental restrictions, Human Resource Council is committed to and will be promising as a part of their application for some ongoing resident support. This includes tenant education, financial planning, life skills training. That's part of their mission, and they administer or they deliver the services of all their projects. Also, this is a relatively low density. The site is just over 3 acres, and with a proposal for 16 homes, that's 5 homes per acre. Over the years, there's been some iterations of this that's significantly more dense. I think it's the right call for where it's at and what's being offered in Stevensville. Go ahead, you can try in there. Here's a quick look at the floor plans for the 3-bedroom unit on the left and the 2-bedroom on the right. One thing that's very important to the Human Resource Council and part of their mission is all of the ground floor units will be universally designed. If you're not familiar with that term, basically the idea and the goal behind the universal design concept is that the homes will be available to anyone and visible by anyone. So from the moment you get out of your car, you walk onto the sidewalk and the walk up to the house and through the front door into the kitchen and bathroom, no steps on the ground floor unit. So you're never going up the stairs. Also, the kitchen and bathrooms, being in a wheelchair or other physical challenges or just getting older, should make these units much more livable for them. The project is located the same place it has been for each one of the previous proposals. Go ahead. It's in the northeast part of town, just behind where the Ace Hardware there is. I believe there's a new building with this barrel manufacturing out in that area. But it gives good access to downtown as well as the schools for the families that are living there. Where are we at in the process of this project? Go ahead. As I mentioned earlier, it was one of 16 that submitted a letter of intent. We did that back in April, and we kind of strategically didn't make a lot of noise about it, because after hearing no for 4 times, it was kind of why get people all riled up. But we were very excited in May when we got the invitation to apply, which takes us to tonight, July 11th. We're working diligently on the complete application that the board has asked us to submit. That will go in the end of July. The Montana Board of Housing will meet October 28th, where from those 8 projects, they'll select which 6 will be funded. Should we continue to get green lights, we'll jump right into design and permitting, bidding, and if everything goes according to plan, we hope to start construction in March and look to be complete in the October 2020. That's our schedule, at least from where we're standing now. So, again, on behalf of Human Resource Council and myself, thank you for the opportunity to share this project with you. We would welcome any comments you have on it. Those comments will be included in the application. Comments from yourself, or if it pleases the mayor, what we'd like to hear from the public. So with that, happy to answer any questions. Or
Mr. Cruz,
what's the average square foot for these homes?
The 2 bedrooms are 890, and the 3 bedrooms are 1,120. And each unit includes 2 complete bathrooms.
It's pretty small. That was less than 1,000 square feet for 2-bedroom home.
Well, they are duplexes and fourplexes. They're not full-on single-family homes. We have to. One thing that, with the housing credit being limited, the state agency has asked us to do what we can to stay as efficient as we can.
Further questions? Mr. Michelson.
Are these ADA and handicap accessible?
So, yes.
But you shouldn't want to deny anybody that.
Right. So it's definitely, the answer is definitely yes. The reason why I pause is ADA actually only applies to public places. Mm-hmm. And since these are residential, ADA is not a governing rule over these. But one of them will be what we call a type A unit, which is fully accessible, meaning the kitchen cabinets are roll underneath, right? So you can roll right underneath the counters. The refrigerator in that one will be a side-by-side refrigerator rather than a freezer on top, refrigerator on bottom, front-loading washer and dryer, that type of thing. But as I was saying, all the units on the ground floor, which will be 12 of them, four of them, 12 will be zero step and accessible to somebody in a wheelchair. That's part of the universal design concept.
Okay. Any questions from the council? I'd entertain questions from the public.
So water, sewer, and fire capabilities.
So that, we've been talking with the engineer and are also, and the belief is that there's suitable water and sewer for this. We'll have to add the piping and all that kind of stuff. That'll have to be tied into the
infrastructure.
Yeah, we'll have to add to serve our buildings. But as far as capacity, been told it's sufficient. That was certainly something we've been looking into over the years.
What about garages?
We don't have garages. We are planning on one covered parking, like in a carport per unit. The total of, we've got 16 units, we're targeting probably 34 parking spaces, so that's two per unit plus a few guests, but 16 will be covered.
And how big are the lots?
Well, there won't be actually individual lots because it's a rental property, so it'll be owned by one entity.
Right.
So the whole property is 3.2 acres.
So 45,000, okay.
45.
Well, you just have to divide, you have to multiply how many acres and then.
Right, so an acre's 40, so it's 135,000 square feet would be 3 acres, right?
Right.
And then 16 units over there.
Any further questions from the public? Mr. Cruz?
I got a question. Do you know the zoning of this lot? Is it an R2?
Yes, it's R2.
R2.
Okay. If there's no further questions, thank you very much. Oh, excuse us, Ms. Tadbeck.
Excuse me. That's okay. You know, we grew up here, and that used to be known as swampland. Is it still swampy? And is there still water that runs over there, through there?
It's ironic that you asked about water, because a lot of our discussions then, there's a lot of water.
Yes, it's a swamp.
In fact, I've learned that, is it called Old Swamp Creek?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So, they've been doing water monitoring, and you can pretty clearly say where, as much as man has tried to reroute, Swamp Creek runs where Swamp Creek has always run. And as such, the site plan itself has gone through multiple iterations. And what keeps happening is the buildings keep moving further and further to the south, it would be. And we're definitely aware of that and watching it. With the experience we've had with multifamily, the last thing you want to do is build yourself a problem, especially when your rents are restricted and built. So yeah, we're very focused on the water. It's shallow water near the north end of the lot, and so we're planning on going further south and also, you know, elevating buildings as much as we can, but still maintaining acceptable slopes for accessibility.
Just
wanting
to know if you were aware of the water. I assume that you probably.
We have talked a lot about water.
And it will. We've seen it that deep, where you just get into it and it's a bob and it just sucks you under. So
yeah.
Thank
you.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, and I do have some flyers I'll leave here if anyone's interested.
Sounds great. Thanks, you guys. All right. We'll move on to correspondence. The letter from Executive Director Elaine Roach of the Main Street Association is included in your packet, and then two other letters have been given to you tonight. The letter from Lorraine Roach, Friday, July 5th, 2019. Hi. On the evening of Western Heritage Day, the Main Street Association received the email below. I replied to this individual and told him I understand his feelings about the fireworks and would pass his comments to the event sponsor, the Bitterroot Star, and Western Heritage Day Committee co-chairs, which I did. The Main Street Association did not sponsor or produce Western Heritage Day this year. While his comment was more graphic than most, we did hear a number of negative comments about fireworks in the middle of downtown, adjacent to residential neighborhoods, when many people were unaware they were planned and thus were not prepared to deal with scared children, panicked pets, etc. Commenters said that they expect fireworks on July 3rd and 4th, but not on June 29th, especially large displays downtown, and many people did not see the newspaper or posters or Facebook. Perhaps all homeowners in the adjacent neighborhoods should be notified in advance to expect fireworks. The fireworks also left paper scraps in the street and on adjacent private property. See attached photo of the parking lot behind Valley Drug taken Monday morning, July 1st. The Main Street Association has no official position on this, so we're not seeking a reply. Just forwarding feedback for future policy consideration. Many towns now use silent fireworks. See the link. The volunteers worked very hard on Western Heritage Day, and overall it was a tremendous event. As the community organization responsible for business, economic, and tourism development, SMSA helps to promote all public events in Stephenville, and we will continue to provide the feedback or provide feedback on policy-related issues when appropriate. Thank you, Lorraine. The email she refers to was in fact graphic, and so it's not included in your packet tonight. And the photo was relatively self-explanatory of debris in the street. The next piece of correspondence comes from Malloy Law Firm, dated July 9th, 2019. Dear Mr. Michelson, the Bitterroot Star has requested that I write a letter regarding the recent vacancy replacement on the council. The agenda for June 13th council meeting suggested that the council might suspend rules related to the appointment of a candidate from Stephenville. However, the notice did not contain any reference to proposed action actually appointing someone to fill the vacant Ward 2 position. Likewise, it contained no reference to appointing Mr. Cruz to fill the position. In past years, the council has specifically noticed the proposed appointment as a single agenda item and named the individual expected to receive the appointment. Accordingly, the public was not given a reasonable opportunity to weigh in on the selection of Mr. Cruz as a result of the deficiency in the notice. The Star would respectfully request that you convene a separate meeting and give specific notice to the public of the appointment of Mr. Cruz and permit the public to participate in that decision before it is finalized. Sincerely, Peter Michael Malloy. Last piece of correspondence tonight comes from Raymond Smith of 326 Valley View, dated July 10th, 2019. Mayor and Council. I am writing to express my appreciation to the Town of Stephenville, Civic Club, Skate Park Committee, Jeff, Trevor, Abby, Motley, and firefighters. They all have created a wonderful community event on the 4th. To have all these community groups working together to provide food, fun, and fireworks is awesome. Each year, this event has grown and now rivals many other larger communities' 4th of July celebration. I wish to say thanks to the Civic Club for the picnic. They start the day with a great pig roast. To Ryan Lubinsky, Bill Watkins, the Living Center, Valley Drug, Montana Skate Park Association, Board of Missoula, and everyone who supports the Skate Jam. It has gotten better each year. To see the community, watch the skaters, and get to know them and support them is incredible. To Jeff, Trevor, Abby, Molly, and the firefighters, the fireworks display you have put on the last 2 years, it has been spectacular. I would like to thank all those who donated money and time to make this happen. We really need to continue this great community celebration for years to come. Again, thank you to everyone for making the 4th of July in Stephenville a great day for the community. Without your support, donations, and participation, this could not happen. Great job to all, but most of all, thank you to the town for allowing this to happen and supporting this great community event. Sincerely, Raymond Smith. All right, we've reached the point in the agenda for public comment. It's an opportunity for you to comment on anything on tonight's agenda or under the jurisdiction of the town of Stephenville. If you plan to give public comment, please make sure you sign the sign-in sheet next to the door so that we have a record of who spoke. For when we eventually compile the minutes for these meetings, and step to the podium, state your name and address. Any public comment? Yes, Ms. Mickens.
Okay, Mayor Dewey, I brought all the necessary documents for the closure of the alley that was never an alley at 211 Buck. At the time you stated, it didn't give you enough time to get the public notice in the newspaper. And as you walked away, you said, I only have time. That afternoon, you left work at 2:30 to go home and mow your lawn. Don't have time? I guess when it comes to your mayor duties, they are low on your list. It's been 13 months, and this issue has not been completed. To speed things up, I asked a former mayor what I needed to do, because I have lost faith in you. And he said I should have gone through the planning board. So I tried to go through the planning board, but no, you wouldn't allow that. I see that I have my issue on the agenda tonight. Again, you most likely will say when it comes to that point in time on the agenda that, oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Nickens, but I didn't get that public notice in the newspaper. I don't have a public hearing date set, so you know what, Ms. Nickens, you're just going to have to wait another 2 weeks, maybe even another month. My goodness, I believe you need to stop dragging your feet. And I have to say, if this continues, I will seek legal advice to find out what needs to be done to complete the process. And no, this is not bullying. This is not a threat. I have the right, after 13 months of jumping through hoops, I believe at this time to get this completed, I need help. Just another reason for losing faith in you, Mr. Dewey. If you resigned, maybe this issue could be completed in a flash. I feel the townspeople have a right to know the circumstances of why Mr. Cruz was sworn in outside in front of the building. Are the townspeople aware that you, Mayor, who have been asked not to bring your child to work, which has fallen on deaf ears, had your child in your office with a town employee watching him while you were in...
Ms. Mickens, I'm going to stop you. That is not true. If you're going to make comment under things that are under the jurisdiction of the town, that is completely acceptable, but you will not continue to stand there and spout lies about where I am, where my family is.
Really?
That is not true.
Then why was the door opened and the child was seen in there?
The child was not here in this building.
Okay. Anyway, going on. Then there was a meeting in this room so that we couldn't use the council meeting room. And the door was closed and it said, do not disturb on the door. So is that breaking open door policy? Can't afford child care? Perhaps, Mayor, you need to find a job that supports your needs. Then it's been brought to my attention, bullying. Think about your behavior on Western Heritage Days. I don't believe that pushing your weight around was very professional. In fact, I find it very immature. And just because you're the mayor...
Ms. Mickens, I'm going to stop you again. Public comment is not an opportunity to call out the behavior of me, wherever I am. It is the opportunity to comment on things under the jurisdiction of the town of Stevensville or on the agenda. If you cannot stay on point, I'm going to ask you to step away from the podium.
Well, I'm finished, fortunately.
Okay. Ms. Tadvick.
Leslie Tadvick, 509 Mission Street. Did I misunderstand you to say that farmers contributed to the fireworks this year?
They had indicated that they were going to, yes.
No, did they?
They have not. We have not received any funding yet because there hasn't been time to collect it.
That's true, but shouldn't that have been done before fireworks?
Yes.
So I have a message here from my husband who says we did not contribute to the fireworks.
That's correct, you have not.
Okay, thank you.
Further public comment? Yes, Lori.
My name is Lori Luperini, and I live at 4194 Eastside Highway, just outside the city limits. We've been here about a year. A little bit about my background. I was the mayor for 10 years of a small city between Napa and Vallejo called American Canyon. I've been where you're at. lots of times. We were 3,000 people when I ran for mayor and on the council, and we wound up to be 18,000 10 years later. So we had growing pains. First of all, I'm going to ask, where's your city attorney?
The current attorney isn't here.
We always have a city attorney at every council meeting to prevent any kind of conflict. Also, I'm appalled at some of the way things are done here compared to where I'm from and what I've been through, that things that are presented to the public have to be noticed so that it's on an agenda so we can discuss them and hear them in public, not private. So all this stuff that's been going on, I've been kind of watching, and I'm kind of surprised that you're at this point, at this stage of the game, when American Canyon has only been a city for 12 years. So we passed you guys up on some of the things that we've done because we had a city attorney at every single meeting. Helped a lot. So if you could get that, you might all be a lot happier.
Further public comment? Ms. Howell.
Victoria Howell, 609 Middlebrook, Fork, but I'm really speaking on behalf of the Bitterroot Star at 115 West 3rd. I would like to formally thank the Stevensville Town Council, the fire and police departments, the mayor, for your help in making Stevensville Western Heritage Days possibly the best ever. This event, which is over 30 years old, was established to bring folks to our downtown and show them what a great community we have. They got to eat great food, enjoy the expanded farmers market, sample the chuck wagon meals, see native dancing and drumming at historic St. Mary's Mission, shop in the stores, and then linger over a cool beverage and great music on the street. Our local businesses benefited hugely from this, and we were able to partner with the 50 Mile Garage Sale this year to bring even more people to our town. But it almost didn't happen this year. The Main Street Association dumped the event, and so the Star picked it up and made sure it happened. The Main Street Association has been circulating the idea that the businesses didn't want Western Heritage Days, but we knew that couldn't possibly be true. In fact, we took in more than $16,000 in sponsorships from our local businesses and had dozens of raffle prizes donated, as well as in-kind contributions. Even pared down to just a one-day event, the beer garden brought in almost $3,000, the vendor fair and chuck wagon meals over $2,000 each. The event was so successful that we'll be able to make a substantial financial contribution to the school kids backpack program at Stevensville and Lone Rock, where hungry kids discreetly receive backpacks full of food to take home on the weekends. And all this was done with a group of volunteers who divided up the workload so no one was overworked or overwhelmed. And then we were able to top it off with an amazing fireworks display, fully sponsored by three local businesses. The fireworks display was publicized on the radio, in the newspapers, on posters and flyers, and on social media. As you know, the fireworks event happened with full approval of the town council, the fire chief, the coal building property owner, parking lot owner, and was fully insured and properly handled in every way. Town police officers were even on hand to ensure the safety of the crowd. And I even cleaned up the debris from the fireworks myself, and I have a video to prove it. Although I couldn't get to it until Monday evening because I had a newspaper to put out. We've received so many positive comments about all aspects of the events, including the fireworks. The owners of Valley Drug, right next to the fireworks, told one of our volunteers that the soda fountain had one of its best days ever. Guests at the Stevensville Hotel, which was fully booked and had to turn people away, said they absolutely loved the addition of the fireworks. What a way to top off a perfect day in Stevensville and kick off a great summer. Those positive comments really mean a lot to our volunteers and to the Bitterroot Star. But the bottom line is, you just can't please everyone. So again, thank you all for the part you played in this year's Stevensville Western Heritage Days. We really appreciate it. And I'll leave the letter with you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, is there any more public comment? Mr. Larson.
I'm Dave Larson. I live at 711 Middlebrook Fork. And several months ago, actually a couple years ago, when Mayor Cruz was mayor, I had a project in mind on a commercial building that I own here in town about putting in some apartments on the main floor. And without my investigation into the zoning rules, he made me aware of the zoning rules that nowhere in Stevensville in this zoning area was I allowed to do so. He invited me to apply for a variance, of which I thought it just wouldn't be worth the hassle, so I declined. Several months ago, at the old Laundromat building here on 314 Main Street, I noticed some activity and some guys were working there, and as I was walking by, asking what they were doing, and they were remodeling the front part of the Laundromat to become retail or office, and then they instructed me that they were putting in apartments, in one in the back of the Laundromat building and another one in the rear building that's a standalone. And I thought, well, that sounds odd because I wasn't allowed to do such a project. I brought it to your attention, Mayor Dewey, and asked you about it. You said absolutely not. You thanked me for the information and implied that I should check back with you in a week. This was approximately 2 months ago. And that you would have some information for me. It took me 3 weeks to track you down. I left numerous messages, and you didn't answer them. Finally, I caught you on the phone, and you answered the phone. I asked if you had done anything yet, and I was also made aware by that time that you were the zoning compliance officer. And you said, you're too busy, you're understaffed, you haven't done anything. I said, well, it's got to be brought towards public comment. You said, if I remember correctly, you said, possibly not, I'll settle it myself. And I thought, that should be odd, because if it is a zoning violation and it's allowed to go forward, it should be a public issue, not a private issue with you to make the decision. So as work has now stepped up its pace, which is very evident, on the two apartments, it is clear to me that if I was the owner of property, constructing the apartments, spending money, either due to my ignorance of the zoning, or to my knowledge of the zoning and bypassing it, because if we're not going to do anything and I get away with it, then what's the harm if that was my attitude? Then I think that if it does get investigated and the project stopped, you told me that you were worried about doing anything in fear of getting the city involved in a lawsuit. I think you could be involved in a lawsuit by not doing anything and allowing this guy to continue to spend, let's just say, good money, and to find out later that he's going to be shut down, the project will be eliminated if it's not allowed a variance, then you could be on the hook for a lawsuit for failure to act on stopping the project after he spent money after money. So can I ask a question of you? Have you done anything yet?
To date, no.
Excuse me?
To date, we have not.
Okay. So this has been months now, and you're allowing it to continue as zoning compliance officer, and I object to your decision to continue to ignore what is a zoning violation in the city of Stevensville on Main Street.
Further public comment? All right. Move on to unfinished business. Discussion decision. Interlocal agreement and land lease agreement between the town of Stevensville and Stevensville Rural Fire District. You have the interlocal agreement and lease operating agreement before you tonight in the packet. The interlocal agreement, by and large, after the COW meeting we held with council and the representatives of the district in attendance, incorporates as much wording in the new agreement that I felt was acceptable or could be modified and meet the needs of both organizations. So that's been incorporated into the document before you tonight. And so those changes are throughout. The lease operating agreement, based on the feedback I received from council, was that you thought a five-year lease was appropriate with $5,000 in rent plus utilities. Utilities come out to about $2,000 a year. Item C in the lease operating agreement has been modified to reflect such. Mr. Michelson.
I make a motion to approve the interlocal agreement and land lease agreement between the town of Stephenville and the Stephenville Rural Fire District.
Is there a second? Ms. Holcomb?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Michelson and seconded by Ms. Holcomb to approve the interlocal agreement and land lease agreement between the town of Stephenville and the Stephenville Rural Fire District. Discussion from council. Mr. Michelson.
Upon reviewing this on a short notice, because as you all know, you, Mr. Dewey, the agenda packet didn't get out until day before yesterday. So I gave a phone call to Mr. Bill Anderson of the Rural Fire Department, and I asked him to review this if he could. He did. He got back to me. He gave this, in his view, revised edition. I have a copy for you, Mr. Mayor, here. And it says, the interlocal agreement between the town of Stephenville and the Stephenville Rural Fire Department. The green highlighted sections of the attached interlocal proposed by Mayor of Stephenville are concerned of the rural Stephenville Rural Fire Department. The first paragraph on the second page, highlighted in green, should be rewritten to add the language on page 2, item 5 of the 2000 agreement signed by both organizations. We have attached a copy of the 2000 agreement with this section highlighted in green. If you go to page 2 of 8, you'll see the highlighted section where it says, whereas the September 25th, 2000 agreement, and it goes on, and from what I'm understanding here is it should be written to be added to the language as item 2 of item 5 of the 2000 agreement. So, if we go on, other than that, there is no major changes. We go on to the lease. The yellow highlighted sections of the attached lease proposed by the mayor of Stephenville are of concern for the Stephenville Rural Fire Department. Sections A, B, and C should be rewritten to reflect the intent of the 2000 agreement signed by both organizations. Section A should reflect all of 208 Buck Street. Section B should include renewal options of 3 additional 5-year leases. Section C should reflect the total square footage and the square foot price adjusted to that. This would include the agreed upon $5,000 per year or $416 per month plus the average of the utilities. The Stephenville Rural Fire Department has agreed to sublease back to the town fire department a portion of 208 Buck Street and can be reflected in this lease or a separate document. We have attached a copy to the 2000 agreement with these sections highlighted in yellow. Thanks for your consideration, the Stephenville Rural Fire Department. So there we are. Other than that, it looks like a really good agreement between both parties, but their concern, I think, is just they want to make sure that the I's are dotted and crossed for both parties. I would like to ask the mayor to consider the Rural Fire Department's request as far as what I've just read into the record. And that would be like the first paragraph on the second page should be rewritten to add the language on page 2 of item 5 of the 2000 agreement. And also, I would like to ask the mayor to consider the yellow-highlighted section, the intact lease portion
that are sections A, B, and C, and they should be written to reflect the intent of the 2000 agreement by both organizations. Section A should reflect all of 208 Black Street and on. Thank you.
Okay. Further comment? Mr. Cruz?
So, from what I'm understanding, this went to a town meeting, and it went through negotiations between the rural fire district and town, and we had one agreement that everybody was pretty well settled on, and now the one being presented tonight is different than what they agreed on. Is that what I understand?
So, when we left the cow meeting, there was no formal or finalized decision as to what the agreement would look like. What was decided was is that each council member would review the meeting and individually send me back what feedback they had on the agreement. By and large, the sentiment was that the district's revisions to the interlocal agreement were acceptable, and that $5,000 per year plus utilities was acceptable for rent. Mr. Michelson.
Again, I would ask the Stephenville mayor if he would consider what I just stated, the rural fire departments, to make this go forward. If you are good with this, then I would ask that we approve it. If you're not good with the changes, then I would ask that we table this until the both parties can get back together and discuss this again. And I know it's been a long time, but I know this agreement is 5 years at a time, and I think that in order to do this, we should get it right.
I don't disagree with getting it right is of utmost importance, and so I'd recommend if the council wants me to consider further language in this agreement that we table it.
Thank you.
Mr. Cruz.
We have a motion on the floor.
That's correct. Motion on the floor currently is to approve the agreement. Mr. Michelson.
I would like to withdraw my motion to approve it.
Ms. Holcomb, do you concur?
I do.
Okay. Motion's been withdrawn. Mr. Michelson.
I would like to table this agreement between the interlocal land lease agreement between the town of Stephenville and the Stephenville Rural Fire District until the Stephenville mayor can look at this and make the needful changes that is agreeable to both parties, and then come back in the nearest future and approve this.
Why don't we table it to July 25th? Is that okay? It's a little simpler.
Yes.
Okay, motion on the floor is to table this agenda item until July 25th. Is that accurate, Mr. Michelson?
That is correct.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Michelson and seconded by Ms. Holcomb to table the interlocal agreement between the town of Stephenville and the Stephenville Rural Fire District to July 25th. Further council discussion? Public comment? Chief?
Jeff Martin, single fire chief. 318 Stephenville. This thing's been dragging on forever and ever and ever, and the changes that the district is asking for are information and changes that are in prior agreements. I don't see any reason to put this off to review. It's already been agreed upon years ago. It just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, we need to move this thing forward. It's just been languishing out there forever and ever and ever. And council did have the opportunity to come back and put their input back into the draft that was before you today. And they did come back, but they didn't see that point as being a point that needed to be added into that. And I understand that. I mean, I didn't see the document until this afternoon myself. So I would just encourage the council not to table this, but to move forward with this thing. Make a motion stating what you want to state. This done.
Further public comment? Mr. Anderson.
Bill Anderson, 3035 Eastside Highway. I represent the Stephenville Rural Fire District Board as a board member. I agree completely with Chief Motley. things have been going on way too long. We can take blame on all sides, but the part that keeps getting missed is there is a 2000 agreement when we started in building 208 Buck Street. The rural fire department in town, the Stevensville fire department, worked together, and through cooperation and a pretty large chunk of money from the rural fire district, to donation of land by the fire district. For some reason, this 2000 document keeps getting forgot. And like the 812 square foot that you keep representing over there, Mayor, I'm not sure where that came from. 208 Buck Street is 208 Buck Street. It's both base. We're happy to share it. There hasn't been no objection to Chief Motley or any of the fire department stuff. We're happy to share it, but it should be under the control of the rural fire station. Much like an airport lease, the ground belongs to the town. The rural district built the building. It's spelled out nicely in here about renewals. It's spelled out nicely in here about the term of the lease, the dollar figure. That's what we're asking for, is to follow this lease. So I agree with Chief Motley, if you would agree to these couple changes and include the language we're asking for, this thing could be settled, it should be settled. It's our public. The cooperation between the town and the rural fire department continues. Our guys, we've done our best to keep it away from the guys. They operate when the alarm goes off and they go out the door. They're one fire department, as they should be, and will continue to be if we have anything to say about it. I believe Chief Motley has anything to say about it. That's it. We understand our differences in budgets and the way things have to operate. We work within that. But it's time to, this has been a long, long time. I understand the frustrations, and I've been pretty patient, and I think we all have been pretty patient in working through it. The cooperation of the council has been good, so it is time to put it to bed. Don't forget this 2000 agreement, because it's there, signed by our rural fire district and the powers to be in the town. So I don't think it's certainly not, we didn't go in and hack the document up. It's just some concerns about the square footage, the cost of that square footage. So thank you very much.
Chief Motley.
It's apparent to me that we have two documents that we're looking here. One is the interlocal agreement that spells out the operational side of the cooperative effort put forward. And the second is the lease of the property and building next door. If you do determine that you do want to table this to change language in the lease, can we separate it and at least adopt the interlocal part of it, the operational part of it, so we get that part on the table and moving forward? The other piece of this, the other comment that I'd like to make is the total square footage of the building is one thing. The district is more than obligated back to us, or back to us, that they would be glad to lease back whatever portion of that the town needed to lease back at the same rate that they're leasing to make it to the 812 square foot total of one. It's semantics, it's language, it's verbiage. So there's no issue why we should, the building is the total square footage. That's the lease to them. They're going to send another lease back to us for whatever part we deem we need for whatever that needs to be. We should be able to, we've proven we can work together, cooperate together, and perform together. I don't understand why this is so difficult to get done.
Further public comment? Okay. In the spirit of concluding the interlocal or approving the interlocal agreement at the very least, because the out of all sections of the interlocal lease and physical property, or at least the differences between the 208 Buck Street, have been pulled out of the interlocal agreement, with the exception of the eighth paragraph under the recitals, which seems to be the sticking point of the interlocal. I'd be curious to hear if the council would entertain removing that paragraph from the interlocal, since all other references to a lease have been pulled out, and then instead working through some language in the lease agreement so that at the very least the interlocal agreement goes into place. Ms. Holcomb.
I'm in agreement this has been going on way too long. I think we need to find a way to just get this passed so we can they can move on.
And that's why I offered to remove the eighth paragraph from the recitals and address it in the lease agreement. So that at the very least, you could approve the interlocal agreement tonight. Mind you that the final documents before you tonight have not been thoroughly reviewed by council, by the city attorney. They were incorporated in the packet. I didn't anticipate approval of the interlocal tonight because you had a Cal meeting and you wanted to bring it forward after the changes had been made. Mr. Cruz?
Okay, you have a motion on the floor to table this issue before you make another motion. You're going to need to deal with that motion.
I know. I'm fully aware of what motions are on the floor.
I have an idea how to get through this for tonight, but that motion's got to be dealt with.
The motion on the floor is to table this to July 25th. Is there any further public comment or comment from the council on tabling the agreement? Motion on the floor is to table the agreement. Mr. Michelson?
So is Councilmember Cruz asking me to withdraw my motion to table it?
Yes.
And so he could make a motion on the floor and give you his idea?
Yes.
That or I'll call for the vote, you vote it down.
I'd like to withdraw my motion on tabling the interlocal agreement between the town of Stephenville and the Stephenville Rural Fire District and ask Mr. Cruz to give his opinion.
Ms. Holcomb, do you concur with withdrawing the motion?
I do.
Okay, the motion's been withdrawn. Mr. Cruz?
Okay, I move that lease agreement between town of Stephenville and Stephenville Rural Fire District be approved by incorporating the yellow highlighted areas as Mr. Bill Anderson has stated, and that the interlocal agreement between the town of Stephenville and the Stephenville Rural Fire District be approved with the green highlighted areas upon completion of review by the town attorney.
Is there a second?
I second that.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Cruz and seconded by Mr. Michelson that the lease agreement be approved with the yellow highlighted areas as suggested by the Rural Fire District, and the interlocal agreement be approved with the green highlighted areas as suggested by the district upon approval of the town attorney.
Okay.
Further discussion? Public comment? Okay. Hearing no discussion or comment, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Cruz?
Aye.
All right, we'll get it over to the attorney. On that note, we have unfinished business. Item B, discussion decision, consent to the mayor's appointment of Scott B. Owens as city attorney. Mr. Michelson.
I would like to suspend council rules and move item C up before item B. I feel that item C came before us as a contract in the May 23rd meeting in the packet. It contained both candidates, Mr. Scott B. Owens, and our current city attorney, Mr. Brian West. And now, the last time, Mr. Dewey asked us to appoint Scott B. Owens. We tabled that, and I believe that once you start a contract and once you put it out for bids, I don't believe it's in good fairness to both candidates if you drop one candidate for whatever reason and ask to us just to appoint Scott B. Owens. In all fairness, I think we need to give both candidates a look, and that's why I'm asking to move item C up before item B.
Okay. I know there was a motion in there someplace. To clarify this issue, I did visit with Brian about the difference between an appointment and a contract. In this case, it's both. It is an appointment and a contract. It was his feeling that the council should first make an appointment, because that's the position, and then approve the contract that corresponds with that appointment. You're dealing with an appointment. That's why it's structured this way on the agenda. You're dealing with the appointment first. You need to appoint the person before you can approve the contract for that person. And there isn't necessarily a contract before you tonight. item C is to the what's included in item C isn't necessarily a contract. Those are proposals.
I made the motion. I'm waiting for a second.
I'm not entirely sure what your motion was because it was about 3 minutes.
I asked you, sir, Mr. Mayor, if we could suspend council rules and move item C up before item B so we could give both candidates a consideration instead of just trying to nominate one.
So to simplify, your motion is to suspend council rules to move unfinished item C to above item unfinished item B.
That is correct.
Is there a second to that
yes.
motion? Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Michelson and seconded by Mr. Cruz to suspend council rules and move item unfinished item C above unfinished item B. Discussion on suspension of council rules. Public comment. Oh, Mr. Cruz, excuse me.
The reason that I think this is the right way to go is because this whole process started with a request for proposal for services. So you went through and you advertised, you got a couple of candidates that came in and said, yeah, I can do this and I can do that. And you had bids that were submitted, the bids were opened legally before the council. So you have a process in progress. Okay, bids were open in front of council. They were supposed to be acted on no later than the next council meeting, according to the town ordinance, if I'm not mistaken. Well, that meeting got canceled, so that means you got to deal with it tonight because it's the next available regular council meeting. So tonight is where you act upon the bids that you asked for. It was not, you didn't really go out to appoint a new city attorney. You asked for a proposal to provide legal services for the town, which would result in an award or an appointment to a town attorney or city attorney. So that's why I agree. I believe this is the proper way to do it. You've got a process in progress. You need to complete that. Otherwise, tonight the council needs to do one or two things. You either award the bid, or you reject all the bids and start the process over according to the town ordinance. And I have that town ordinance right here, just to remind everybody what it says. A request for proposal for legal service for the period of July 1st, 2019 to June 30th, 2021 was issued on May 15th, 2019 by the town of Stevensville. There were two respondents. Bids were opened legally at a convened town council meeting on May 23rd, 2019. The contract was to have been awarded on the June 13th, 2019 meeting, but was not accomplished due to council requesting to meet the contractor for interviews, which did not happen. In accordance with the Stevensville Municipal Code, Section 2-401, reception of bids, the bids for contracts shall be opened by the clerk in the presence of the council while the council is in actual session at a regular, adjourned, or special meeting. After the bids shall have been opened, the contract shall be let or awarded by the council. The award shall be made to the lowest responsible bidder. The council may postpone action as to any such contract until next regular meeting after bids are received, or may reject any and all bids and readvertise. So my opinion is the council must act in order to award the contract to the lowest responsible bidder during the July 11, 2019 meeting, or reject any and all bids and readvertise. So I think that we're safe to follow the town ordinance.
Certainly it doesn't circumvent the appointment process of an attorney, though. And I think that was Brian's sentiment, was that this is a kind of a quasi process where you're blending an appointment process with a contract process because of the nature of the position. If this was an employment position, it'd be completely, we'd just follow one track. So nonetheless, the motion on the floor is to suspend council rules and move C to B. Further council discussion. Public comment on suspending the rules. All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Cruz.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
All right, we'll move on or move to unfinished item C, discussion decision, council to award contract for legal services. Michelson and Cruz. Mr. Michelson.
I make a motion that we award a contract for legal services. I make a motion that we award. Contract for legal services to Mr. Brian West, who is our current city attorney.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Michelson and seconded by Mr. Cruz to award contract for legal services to Mr. Brian West. Council discussion. Mr. Michelson.
At our last special meeting, you had asked us to nominate Mr. Scott Owens. I had asked you why the reason was, and of course you said you thought we needed a fresh pair of eyes on our town attorney. You felt that for whatever reason you did not want to retain the service of Mr. Brian West. The discussion ended there. I think that the town has had, after reading Mr. Brian West's resume here, I think the town would be in a great importance to keep Mr. West. He has been here, as he stated, since Mr. Lou Barnett put him in there in 2011. And he has history in this town. He's been through the goods and the bads. He's been through this last year and a half, which has been very tumultuous to the council and the mayor and the town, but he's stuck with us. I think it would be the best interest of the town to retain his services for the betterment of just his history and knowing going back 8 years. I think if we just dump that into new attorney's hands without the history going through, that it just wouldn't be in the best interest, because we're going through some challenging times. They will get better, and I would just leave it at that. Thank you.
Mr. Cruz.
Having been council prior and mayor, now back on council, I see the benefit to having an attorney who has history in the town. Mr. West has done work that people probably don't realize in recording the historical decisions of this town and putting them on a DVD, which I turned over to you. I hope it's still in. Because all the opinions and things like that that the town attorneys have made for a long time were just laying around in a big file cabinet, and he took the initiative and started recording all those and putting them in digital format so we'd have them be able to draw upon that information readily. He is well versed in local government. He is also filling in as a judge, and that is teaching him a lot more about being impartial. Now, I know that there were some problems that came up regarding my appointment to the council, and sometimes he didn't rule the way some people wanted, or make an opinion the way some people wanted. And I can appreciate that, because when I was mayor, sometimes he told me things like, you're going the wrong way, you need to turn around and go the other way, because what you're doing may not be right. So I appreciated that. I appreciated the interpersonal communications. And I appreciate his openness and willingness to come to the table and sit down and discuss things with individuals. And I think overall, the history in the town, he will make a much better town attorney. And we don't have to provide any additional training.
Ms. Holcomb.
Well, looking through both of them, they both look great. I mean, Mr. Owens, I mean, his resume looks awesome. Mr. West looks awesome, but I'm going back to the comment that I made at our last meeting that, honestly, I just don't see putting someone new in the middle of what's going on right now. We have a few things that are up in the air. Brian West already knows about the situations. Instead of having to try to, what's the word I'm looking for? get Scott Owens up to date, I think Brian West would be the better person of the two right now.
Okay. Further council comment?
Additionally, Mr. West has worked for other towns and cities across Montana. He worked quite a bit with Darby when Darby was going through all their problems. And he developed the ability to share information from one town to the other. And this is going on down here, and this is the way they dealt with it. This is what's going on up here. This is the way that town dealt with it, and all the way across the state. So I think that is a significant benefit to the town. And face it, judges don't ask all attorneys to sit in as a judge. And Mr. West is doing that, and I think that right there is significant.
I'd like to invite Mr. Owens to speak to his capacity or ability to fill the position, if he would, since he's present tonight and has taken the time here this evening to be here, to kind of give you some context of his background. Mr. Owens.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Council members, would you like me to quote you?
Sure. Sure. Please.
Where do you need me here? I guess just briefly, I wasn't really prepared to say a whole lot tonight, except that I saw a request for a bid. Recently moved back to Missoula just this year and looking at other opportunities. This was an opportunity to come out here and provide legal services for the department heads and the council members and the mayor, and I put in an application. I have been speaking with Mr. West about this, as this is, I think initially when I put down the bid, I thought I was the only attorney, or since learned otherwise. As to my background, I grew up in Montana. At the end of this year, I'll have spent 20 years with the Montana Army National Guard, 7 years with the infantry, another 10 years with 19 Special Forces Group. And then over the last 3 years, I've been legal counsel for the Montana Guard. Since law school, I have hung out in Shingle and Helena, recently moved back to Missoula. So for the last 6 years, I've been doing a solo practice. My former partner is currently the city attorney for Deer Lodge and East Helena. So I do have experience in local government. I do help him out managing all those things as he does. He's also in the military with me. I look forward with the opportunity to provide legal services for the town of Stephenville. If you guys have any questions, please feel free.
Thanks, Scott. Any questions for Mr. Owens? Any council? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Only to say thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service.
Thanks, sir.
So I suppose the question that comes to my mind in this conversation is what happens if you award a contract for legal services to an individual that I'm not willing to appoint? Because you need the appointment. Hence why the appointment is on the agenda. So we have an appointment coming forward. And per Montana Code, which you're all well aware of, the mayor appoints the city attorney with the approval of the council. As the individual who primarily interfaces with the town attorney's office, I've weighed the options that are before the town. And as the executive have made the decision that it is in the best interest of the town to change city attorneys. I appreciate and understand council's concerns for experience and where we stand with certain issues. But as I stated previously in another meeting, the most significant issues that the town is dealing with, as far as litigation and legal-wise, or as far as the attorney's office is concerned, are handled by outside counsel. They're not even handled through the attorney's office anymore. They've been farmed out. And I would also venture to argue, or at least ask you to reason, that while it's the attorney's, or it is undoubtedly the attorney's role to keep the town out of areas where litigation or liability approach. And I don't know as though this organization has had success in doing that. We find ourselves currently in a position of litigation and of serious liability, and that certainly plays into my decision as to who serves in that office. Further council comment? Motion on the floor is to award contract for legal services to Brian West. All right, if there's no further council comment, I'll call for public comment.
From what I can see, you should have had an attorney here tonight and for every council meeting. And you probably agree with that. Because there's been some things going on this evening that are strictly not legal. Okay, if you had an attorney here at all times, he could prevent a lot of this.
Further public comment? Mr. Cruz.
I have a question. Why do you say it's not legal?
The fact that you don't publicize on the agenda things that should be there for the public to view before the council meetings, and the bullying that I've seen going on this evening, an attorney would have stopped a lot of this. Instead of the mayor having to do it, an attorney would have done it.
Okay. Further council comment? Otherwise, I'm prepared to call for the vote unless there's something else from council. Right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. You're happy if you council would like to ponder a bit further. I'm happy
to.
Well,
I'm sitting here thinking about what would be the process if we did award the contract and you didn't choose to appoint that individual. What would be your next step? That's where we need the attorney.
I think effectively what you would have done off the cuff is that council would have retained, the town council would have effectively retained their own legal counsel in Brian West, and then the town itself would be without an attorney because you've approved a contract for legal services with the town attorney who's holding over. So that would leave that position vacant, and you'd have your own counsel to do whatever you'd like with, and it'd leave the rest of the organization up a creek without a paddle. We'd need our own attorney now. Which wouldn't be ideal, because then at that point there's no attorney looking out for the interests of the town as an organization. Mr. Cruz.
So, this whole process started with a request for proposal. Okay. That was put forward by the mayor's office. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you advertised for the request. The bids come in, you hold a meeting, you open them in accordance with the town ordinance. So it seems to me, I mean, agreed, I don't have a problem with the mayor making the appointment with consent of council. The problem is it seems to me like the mayor's office put it out as a request for a contract in lieu of the appointment. That's why when I submitted this agenda item to continue the process of the contract, that was, in my mind, that was the logical step to take. because you should, you requested proposals, you got the proposals, you opened the bids. There was a delay in awarding the contract. Technically, the contract should have been awarded that night, but it wasn't because Councilmember Holcomb, if I remember correctly, wanted to interview both candidates. And that didn't happen. Then we had a meeting that was canceled. So that's why when I looked at this and all of a sudden you put a request for consent to appointment up, it wasn't a completion of work. Okay, you put it up as unfinished business, not new business.
Correct, because the appointment was on the previous agenda.
It was?
It was on the July 3rd agenda, and it was tabled to this meeting. I sought the appointment of Mr. Owens July 3rd meeting. And the council took the decision to table it to this meeting to reconsider. So I guess the intent, the administration was unaware of any other process to solicit the services of an attorney other than to do a request for qualifications and request for proposals. There was no other way to fairly demonstrate or receive that information from different attorneys who may be interested in the position. So we followed the process of a contract with the intent to blend it with the appointment process. Because there's not really, I mean, there's no clear-cut process to undertake the appointment of a contracted position. The only other thing I can refer to, it would be the appointment of a judge, which is a contracted position as well. You know, in hindsight, we could have opened it as an employment position as a contracted employee. That was a bit different of an undertaking than we were used to as far as cranking out RFPs. Mr. Michelson.
Mr. West has stated verbally, and he has stated in emails to all of us that no matter what happens, he is still our attorney until he throws his hands up, as in his words, and says he's had enough and moves on, or we appoint Mr. Owens. So I'd have to disagree with your earlier statement saying that if we don't nominate Mr. Nominate Mr. West, then I don't know, you're going to veto it or whatever you're trying to do here, but it would just drag it out and we would still have legal counsel. Mr. West is still our attorney until he or we say otherwise. Thank you.
For the council discussion. See the wheels turning. Do you need some time?
You don't see any smoke yet.
No, they're not smoking yet. Of course, the fire department's out on call, so careful.
We use royal purple. It's really good lubricant.
Are you taking further public comment?
Sure, I'd entertain public comment. Ms. Howell.
Victoria Howell, 609 Middleburg Court. I think that if the council votes to approve Brian West as the attorney, that would be illegal. Because the mayor is the one who appoints the attorney and then the council approves his appointment. So it would be backwards, and I don't think that could stand. And also, I find it odd that you asked Mr. Owens, you said you wanted to meet Mr. Owens and talk to him, but you didn't have a single question for him. That is not an interview. And I did have a third point, but I can't remember it. Thank you.
Further public comment. Ms. Williams.
Jamie Williams, 413 Buck Street. This is my first meeting that I've actually been to. I've seen them on Facebook quite a bit. And from what I've seen on Facebook and what I'm seeing here, there is a lack of leadership within the council. And this lack of leadership is followed through with the attorney. I mean, that's part of the game plan here. When you're in disruption that you are right now, when you speak of the terms that you're in and the turmoil that is going on, part of that is the attorney that you have. And if you want to continue in this turmoil, stick with the attorney that you have. As I've heard you all state, that you do want change, you do want to get along, you want to work as a team, part of that requires change. And I don't know why you would continue down a path without seeking some form of change. And here's an opportunity to do what you've been preaching that you want to do. And you're bucking at that, and I don't understand that.
Any public comment? Ms. Tadbury.
Thank you. Leslie Tadbury, 509 Mission Street. You know, I've listened to this back and forth. I understood that it was the council's decision on who they hired. Isn't that the way our government is run? It is not the way our game. He might make the appointments for the
office.
They
approved it.
Yeah.
So as stating previously, the mayor appoints officers.
The
city attorney is no exception, and it's very explicit. The city attorney is appointed by the mayor with approval of the council.
Okay. So, isn't it better to stay with somebody who knows all of our backgrounds, all of the in and outs of the workings of the town, since Lou, who was mayor, was in government here? Why would we want to, and no offense, Mr. Olof. But it seems to me that we would have more phone calls to Mr. Owens trying to explain what's going on in our town when there's so many fractions and so much division. And I think it's time that our town healed. But I also think it's wise to have sage advice from an attorney we already know. No offense, Gibbs.
But it's never here.
Okay. Comments directed to the chair, please. Further public comment.
I thought of my third point.
Okay, Ms. Howell, go ahead, before you lose it.
Yeah, before I lose it. So, your request for proposal, that's all it is. It's a request for proposals. It's not a contract. It's not a contract until you sign what you choose.
Correct. Further public comment. Ms. Holcomb, you.
I just want to make a statement. I have asked our attorney to be here several times at our meetings. Our mayor has always turned me down. Just so you know.
That isn't true. That isn't true.
The
attorney has his own, he can attend the meetings on his own volition. He does not
he
need
should
my
be here every meeting.
And I wanted him to be here.
Point of order.
Further public comment. Yes.
Leanna Rodebaugh, 204 Ravelli Street. My understanding, Mr. Mayor, was that you fired Mr. West several times over the issue of Mr. Cruz being appointed to the council. So, do you have the authority to fire him, or is the council not even being asked about that? It seems to me like you were miffed that he was ruling against what you wanted, which was for Mr. Cruz not to be on the council. For them to allow you to have a hissy fit and not go along with what the council wants is just more discourse in this town, and it needs to stop. I'm sure Mr. Owens is a wonderful attorney, but you fired Mr. West because he was ruling against you on the appointment of Mr. Cruz. Is that correct?
That is not correct. That is not true.
You were angry with him. It's kind of well known.
I'm And we this don't is public have comment, right, and I answered your question. If you want to take my answer for what it is or not, that's your decision. But I answered your question. This is not a dialogue.
Sticks by their guns and decides to not confirm your appointment because, to me, it's just somebody having a pout. Thank you.
Further public comment.
I see.
Counsel. To clarify, Mr. West was not fired. I'm just not renewing his contract. Any further council discussion? Motion on the floor is to award a contract for legal services to Brian West. Is council prepared to vote? Oh, further public comment? Yep. Ms. Wander.
Kind of along with 3116 Stevensville. Listen to both sides, and I kind of understand yours, and I understand yours. I think sometimes change is necessary. Mr. West has been with us a long time. I know he's done a good job, but I feel he needs to be here every meeting. All of this going on tonight, and discussion and arguing, and my side, your side, isn't getting you any place, and he should have within his contract a requirement to attend the meetings. So,
it's taken out.
I think it needs to be in there. A lot of these issues could have been settled just like that. Mr. Owens is back there biting his tongue, trying not to say, stop this nonsense and get on with the city business. Thank you.
Further public comment. Yes, Nancy.
Nancy Poppy, 1584 Southford Park Road. I just have something I'm not clear on. You guys had said put C before B. How can you award a contract if there has not been an appointment made for the position? It's kind of backwards. You'd have to have someone have the appointment before you would award the contract.
Correct, yes.
And one other just thought. New blood, infusion of new blood, new ideas, new attorney. I think it's overdue and it's needed for everybody so that you have a fresh outlook.
Mr. Cruz.
I'd like to read the request, request for proposal. Purpose, the request for proposal is to contract for legal services to be provided Town of Stevensville for July 1st, 2019 through June 30th, 2021. Who may respond? Only attorneys who are currently licensed to practice law in Montana and maintain an office within a reasonable driving distance of Stevensville, Montana, or law firms, including such attorneys, may respond to this RFP. Then it goes on to tell you how you respond. The whole thing starts out is this request for proposal is to contract for legal services. That's what was submitted by the mayor initially, and that process started. So we're at a situation now where the administration has decided, well, it doesn't really want a contract or doesn't want to follow through with this proposal process. It wants to do an appointment, and then there'll be a contract developed on the appointment. So you started a process. To end the process, the proper thing to do at this point is Stevensville Municipal Code Section 2-401B. The council may postpone action as to such contract until the next regular meeting after bids are received, or may reject any and all bids and re-advertise. So that's how you close out that item of business. We either accept it, and then we're going to have a fight between the mayor wanting to appoint who he wants and the council approving a contract award, or we reject all bids and start the process over.
And how would that change the outcome?
I don't know. But that's how you have to close the business. You have to follow the ordinances that you started with. You can't.
The ordinance also says that there's an appointment.
Not this ordinance. Not this ordinance. The ordinance you started to comply with was Stevensville Municipal Code Section 2-401.
But I don't think anywhere in the RFP we explicitly said that we'll follow the process in 2-401.
Well, the RFP said this request for proposal is to contract for legal services.
Correct.
If you're going to contract for services in the town of Stevensville, you have to follow the municipal code for the contract, Section 2-400. That's how it works. You have to follow the ordinance. That's what it says.
And I don't disagree in the case of normal contracts and in the case of normal business for the town of Stevensville. But again, I think that this is somewhat of a quasi-process where you have an appointment involved.
I agree that there's an appointment involved. It should have started with the administration saying, we want to appoint a new town attorney, or we want a fresh attorney. And then you go through the process where you advertise or solicit for attorneys to apply for the contract, just like we did, to take on the position of the town officer of city attorney, just like we did when I was mayor. And you interview, and then you make your selection, and then you bring before council and say, I'd like to have this individual here as our city attorney. And that's when council would do that. But the process started with a request to have a contract service. That's where you started. Mm-hmm. And that business is older than your appointment business. So in order to get out of that business, you have to legally close this business.
They go hand in hand, Jim.
No, they don't.
I don't understand this whole idea that there's one business item and another business item. I understand, yeah, we did the proposals and bid openings in compliance with the ordinance to prevent prevent this type of situation happening with the appointment and having it derailed by the council because, God forbid, we didn't follow something written down in our code book from 1973. In fact, the clerk wasn't even the one who opened the proposals. Nonetheless, we wanted to prevent that, and so we followed a process of RFP to cast as wide of a net as we could to make sure that the town was getting the fairest deal it could for legal services. It wasn't that we set out to replace the attorney, but that we thought, let's advertise this and see what came back. If I remember correctly, when the contract was up under your administration, there was only one proposal for services, and that was Mr. West's. And we felt that at least one other attorney would likely apply for this, if not for more. And in fact, we received multiple inquiries about the RFP that we sent out statewide, and ended up with the two proposals that were opened. This idea that, well, we have to follow this line or this train of thought before taking a pause in that train of thought to follow through on an appointment, doesn't make sense to me. We're following through on a process to award a contract. We're stopping to take a breath and to make an appointment in compliance with the law that requires that the attorney be appointed by the mayor. Then you can follow through on your process for a legal services contract. There's nowhere in the ordinance that says it can't be paused in order to make an appointment in there. Mr. Michelson.
In all fairness to Mr. West, he called me tonight at 5 o'clock. Fellow member Council Holcomb asked him in an email this morning if he would be here tonight. He called me and said that he felt he was put in an awkward position because he looked at the agenda and he saw the appointment of Scott Beomes as a city attorney, and he did not want to think it would be under the best interests of the council or him to sit here with two candidates. And this is not an interview that we had requested, that Robin has requested for a special meeting to do the interviews. It was just to appoint, and as Mr. Cruz said earlier, he is filling in for a judge, and he thought that since he's still our current city attorney, he felt he would be in an awkward position
if we appointed Mr. Owens tonight, and then Mayor, that would put Mr. West with legally, not our legal counsel, and he thought if we appointed Mr. Owens that we should swear him in immediately tonight, and then we could get going with our business. But he also said that if we did not, for some whatever reason, appoint Mr. Owens tonight, that Mr. West is still our attorney until he or we say otherwise. So Mr. West has been coming here at the whim of the Mr. Mayor periodically at times when he felt we needed him. We have asked him a couple times within the last year to be here. I know years ago the city attorney used to be here all the time, but due to, for whatever reason, rising costs and everything, we are the small town. We have to take our budget into consideration too. So a city attorney that sits here at every meeting, and I get your point, is a good idea for whatever reason that we need, but also, it also costs the town a lot of money when he's here at every meeting. And looking at the cost of the attorney fees each month, having him here last summer, last fall, and a couple times this spring, it eats into our budget. So, in all fairness, Mr. West had prior obligations tonight. He said that if we really wanted him here, he could be here, but he felt it would have been an awkward position for not only him, but Mr. Owens to be here. So, I'm just stating that. Thank you.
Okay. Any council discussion? Mr. Cruz.
Call for the question.
All right. Motion on the floor is to award contract for legal services to Mr. Brian West. Call for the vote. Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Cruz.
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Okay. Motion passes unanimously. Well, that makes things interesting. We'll go to unfinished item B and give you an opportunity to maybe confirm an appointment of an attorney who can tell us what to do next. Unfinished item B is discussion, decision, consent to the mayor's appointment of Scott B. Owens as city attorney. Mr. Cruz.
I move that we recess for 10 minutes.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All right, we'll reconvene in 10 minutes, approximately 9:10.
Oh, sorry, I got a kidney stone I got to take care of.
How can the contract go to the other guys and that you appoint who you have? Then that makes the contract services null and void, right? You'd have two attorneys.
Right. I don't know.
B comes before C for weeks. Do an appointment and then you award the contract.
Probably just can't call Brian.
You're not going to get to buy anybody because they're not going to match.
Well, I don't know how they can make an appointment. I don't know how they can approve a contract as it's.
This makes sense. Okay.
I still smoke.
Nate, how you doing?
Oh, really? Yes.
Yeah.
This is
just
stupid. Hello. I hate getting up. Oh, thank you.
So that one was a huge
Jesus, and he did all like this.
Council meeting for Thursday, July 11th. We've left off unfinished item C, which was moved ahead of unfinished item B by suspension of council rules. I took the opportunity in the recess to give Brian a call as to the action that the council just took, because Obviously, that action to award a contract to Mr. West raised some red flags, not only with myself, but a number of people in attendance tonight. And it certainly raised some flags with Mr. West. His advice, as a practical matter, was to reconsider the motion you just made and back out of it. There is no contract for legal services on the table before you tonight from Mr. West, and certainly you couldn't force the terms of Mr. Owens's contract onto Mr. West either. He disagreed with the idea that the terms of his contract were on the table tonight at all, and so really there was no contract for him to approve tonight. He submitted a proposal. Those proposals, or the proposals that were proposed under the RFP, were vetted through the administration, and that appointment has come forward. So. He doesn't necessarily, obviously the timing is off on this entire process, which I think is part of the confusion that's over here with Mr. Cruz as to the ordinance issue. So at any rate, his advice to the town tonight is, or to the council anyway tonight, is to reconsider your decision to award the contract of legal services to Brian West. And not follow through with that decision. Mr. Cruz.
As a member of the prevailing party, I move that we reconsider the previous action.
Is there a second? Mr. Michelson?
A second, Deb.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Cruz and seconded by Mr. Michelson to reconsider the previous decision. Mr. Cruz.
I move that we reject all bids for the proposal.
Mr. Michelson.
A second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to reject all bids for proposals under legal services. Further discussion? Public comment? Ms. Motley.
Vicki Motley, 318 9th Street. So with you rejecting all these bids, are you going to then reopen the bids?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
By rejecting all bids, that means the contract service is closed. That means that that item is no longer on the table, that the next item on business is for appointment.
Okay. Does that help clarify?
Not really.
Stick around and see what happens.
Yeah.
Further council discussion or public comment? Motion on the floor is to reject all contracts for service, or proposals, excuse me. All right, if there's no further public comment or council discussion, we'll call for the vote. Councilmember Cruz.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
And Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes unanimously. Move on to unfinished item B, discussion decision, consent to the mayor's appointment of Scott B. Owens as city attorney. Mr. Owens's resume is included in your packet as part of the appointment, and he's here tonight. If should you have questions for him, he's here to ask those. How would council like to proceed? Mr. Cruz.
I move that we appoint or confirm the appointment of Scott B. Owens as city attorney for the town of Stephenville.
Is there a second? Mr. Michelson.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Cruz and seconded by Mr. Michelson to consent to the mayor's appointment of Scott B. Owens as city attorney. Council discussion. Public comment.
When you do the contract for Mr. Owens, may I suggest that his price include being attendance of the council meetings? At least 3 out of 4 during the month, make things go a lot easier for all of you and a lot smoother.
Mm-hmm. Further public comment? All right. If there's no other council comment, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson.
No.
Councilmember Cruz?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Oh, sure.
Was that a yes?
Aye.
Okay. Motion passes 2-1. We'll bring a formal contract under council's consideration at the next meeting. Mr. Michelson.
Mr. West told me tonight, if we did confirm Mr. Owens as our representative, that we swear him in immediately, and that means tonight.
There's no contract.
We don't have a contract in place yet.
I'm just saying what Mr. West told me earlier tonight on the phone.
Correct, and to clarify that, because he made the same remark to me, and that was if in fact the town was in need of legal advice tonight, and Mr. West wasn't available, or you had gone through with his appointment and needed legal advice, that we could formalize that swearing in if we needed to. So, I think for the rest of our agenda, we should be okay without a swearing in. I think that the intent has certainly been expressed. Moving on with unfinished business, item D, discussion decision, council's reconsideration to create a resolution of the town council of the town of Stevensville, Montana, to vacate the 40-foot alley running through block 17, lots 3 through 18 of the original town site of Stevensville, leaving utility easement. Mr. Michelson, I believe this is your item. Yes, sir.
This has been going on, as Mrs. Micken said, since last August. I think it's time to put it to rest. This has been back and forth between the mayor and her, and it was taken on by fellow council member Holcomb and Barker, and it still wasn't because of the easement issues. I walked through it with Mrs. Mickens, through Paul Jessup, who did a proper survey, Mr. George Thomas, and Jeff was with us at the time. We did the survey, and according to the survey, if you look at it, the main issues was the easement as far as utilities and water and sewer, and if you look at the map, you can see that it is clearly that the easement of the water and the sewer have been addressed. They're not an issue. The utilities can get in there. That's the water and sewer. It's outside the scope. George didn't seem to have any problem with it. As Mr. Dewey said, Mr. West had asked to bring this all the way forward up through the resolution. We all agreed upon that. And I think it's time to let her have her alleyway easement upon the upcoming process of a public notice and a public hearing.
Mr. Cruz.
I move that the town council create a resolution of the town of Stevensville, Montana, to vacate the 40-foot alley running through block 17, lots 3 through 18 in the original town site of Stevensville, leaving utilities easement upon completion of proper noticing and public hearings.
Is there a second? Ms. Holcomb?
I'll second it.
Okay. Mr. Cruz's motion has been stated for the record, and Ms. Holcomb has seconded. For the council discussion. Public comment. Ms. Mickens.
I greatly appreciate it because it has been a long time for an alley that was never an alley to be closed. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Okay. Further public comment. All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
And Councilmember Cruz?
Aye.
All right. New business. Discussion decision consent to the mayor's appointment of Monica Hoffman as town clerk and approving compensation at $18 an hour. Ms. Hoffman is in attendance tonight. Thank you for joining us and sitting through the meeting, as you'll experience more. Ms. Hoffman's cover letter and resume are both included in your packet tonight for your consideration. Ms. Hoffman brings a great deal of knowledge to the position. Certainly her experience lends the position well as well. I am certainly eager to have her on board and get some of the clerk's office work caught up. Mr. Michelson.
I make a motion that we give consent to the mayor's appointment of Monica Hoffman as town clerk and approving compensation at $18 per hour.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Michelson and seconded by Ms. Holcomb consent to the mayor's appointment of Monica Hoffman as town clerk and approving compensation of $18 an hour. Council discussion. Mr. Michelson.
I have an issue as far as the job description. It looks to me like the job description has been changed, and that is a great concern to me because, as you well know, the only one that can change the job description is the council. I see that you didn't put in there some lot of language that doesn't coincide with our job description. You did not include her as a, for example, as a court clerk. And as you well know, we rescinded the reorganization plan, which put everything back into its original order. So my question to you is, how can you change a job description without council consent, hold interviews of a clerk, and expect us as a council to confirm her when it isn't your, you overstepped your authority as taking items and moving things around on the job description. That's not your area. We set the wages, we set the job description. Thank you.
So to clarify, I used the position description that was provided through the Human Resource Department at the time we had one. When April was here, I used the job description that was available. I can't speak to how it was changed or if it's not the one you approved. Upon your recension of the reorganization plan, it was the advice of the attorney at the time that nothing changed, that the status quo be maintained, and it has since then. Because there were a lot of complicated pieces to moving the reorganization back to what had been, in theory, rescinded. The town clerk is an employee of the executive branch and assists in legislative function. And so I do have the authority to hold the interviews with her and to make that appointment, just as I do with any other officer of the town. Ms. Michelson.
Yeah, but in a job description from last summer that was given to Mr. West and all of us when we were going through the job description because of the lifeguards and everything else issue, it clearly stated that the court clerk was included in that, and I see it's not even mentioned here, and it looks like a lot of language has been changed, and like I say again, the council did not change this job description for whatever reason you did. And I still don't think you have the authority to overstep the council as far as the job description. Thank you.
Further council comment or discussion? Mr. Cruz.
Has the potential clerk been advised as to the Stephenville Municipal Code requirements of jobs and the Montana Code?
Yes. Further council discussion? Public comment? If there's no further discussion or comment, Mr. Cruz.
I do. I think that Mr. Michelson is absolutely correct on the position description. I'm not sure which one was supplied to Mr. West. I'm sure he has a copy of it. And I think that prior to the potential clerk accepting the position, that position description should be brought forward so that she can review it prior to accepting the position. This position description, this right here, it doesn't have an effective date on it. All position descriptions should have an effective date, and when they were, it's not a requirement or anything, but when it was reviewed and approved by the town council, under the former administration, we took great pains to go through all these, and when we made any change, they were brought through council, and at the bottom of each position description, it was annotated as to what council meeting the position description was adopted by council. It's pretty important because it is a fact that the town council does control the duties and pay for each employee. And this brings me to something else. We need to make sure if this appointment goes through tonight, the pay resolution must reflect the new pay scale, because it's different than the current pay scale, if I'm not mistaken.
The current pay scale is at $18 an hour.
Current pay scale is $18 an hour?
Mm-hmm. And if a new job description were to come forward, it would be the job description we use to advertise the position. I'm motivated to replace the position, and so should you.
So that new job description, position description, should come before council for review approval.
Okay, we can do that. But I would hope that it doesn't hang up the appointment, because we need a clerk, you guys. Really bad. So, further conversation. Or discussion. Last call from public comment. All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Cruz.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson.
Abstain.
Okay, motion passes. 2-1 abstention. Welcome aboard.
Welcome aboard.
Thanks, Monica. We'll move on to new business item B, discussion decision council to suspend council rules in order to schedule the first council meeting in August to the fifth day of August to accommodate two council members being absent during the second Thursday in August. And so this would move the council meeting to Monday, August 5th. Mr. Michelson.
I make a motion that we suspend council rules in order to schedule the first council meeting in August 2019 to the fifth day of August to accommodate two council members being absent during the second Thursday in August.
I second that.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Michelson and seconded by Mr. Cruz to suspend council rules in order to schedule the first council meeting in August to the fifth day of August in order to accommodate two council members being absent during the second Thursday in August. I wanted to make sure we had enough time for a packet. That's all I was looking at. Further council discussion? Public comment? All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Cruz.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
That concludes the business portion of our agenda. My executive report tonight is very brief in that the new finance officer you appointed at the previous meeting will start Monday the 15th, and we'll have our sleeves rolled up and right into training. And then the subsequent week, then we'll roll into training with Ms. Hoffman. So we appreciate, or the administration and the office staff appreciate, councils and citizens' patience as we train those two individuals simultaneously for those positions. It is certainly no easy task. To undertake those positions, and certainly training those positions is going to be somewhat of a challenge as well, but we'll work through it as best we can. So, and with that, we also appreciate council's and citizens' patience as we get as much work done as we can with the time and staff that we have. There's a lot of things that we're trying to juggle, and I will admit that we're certainly dropping the ball on a number of issues, and those are just circumstances that are outside of my control right now. So, again, we're doing the best we can. Town Council comments. Which one was first? Who wants to go? Mr. Michelson?
I had some questions about the appointment of Mr. Cruz when he was sworn in, and a lot of not only people out there during the day, but some other people have asked me, including a news person, is why we held the swearing in out in front of the office. And, of course, it was earlier mentioned as to why. So I asked Mr. Brian West as to, the question was to me was, Brian, can interviews for clerks, treasurers, any position in local government be closed to the public? Brian got mad to me today and said, Bob, there is no list of which meetings can and which meetings cannot be closed, except in litigation meetings under 2-3203. What matters is the content of the topics that the meeting justifies a closure. I would say that where the legislative body wants to conduct an interview
as a whole. There is no basis to justify the closure of the meeting, at least none that comes to mind immediately. In order to close the interviews, the presiding officer must have to determine that the demands of the individual privacy clearly exceed the merits of public disclosure. The meeting can only be closed during the time of which the issue is discussed. The individual may waive that privacy interest, and then the meeting must be open, per MCA 23-203. Closure requires passing a high bar, and the line of questions at the interview stage is exceedingly unlikely to tread on anything that would fall in a narrow exception to close a meeting. In fact, I would suggest that any interview questions that does implicate a privacy interest to that nature is likely to be inappropriate to an interview context. Brian. So, Mike, I would just like to say the day that we swore in Mr. Cruz out in front, I came in here and there was a sign on this door and said, correct me if I'm wrong, but it said interviews being taken, basically, do not go any further. And I was asked why, so I asked Brian this. So I'm wondering if the mayor held a closed meeting while he did the interviews. Because it looks like from the discussion and it looks like from this here from Brian that the mayor might have held closed session interviews. And that's just Brian's opinion. We don't need anything back on that. And I'd like all to read one more letter. This is from the man that was up here earlier tonight. That was Mr. Dave Larson. He sent this to me. Bob, just letting you know, we sent a letter to Winston Frost, who claims to be the sole owner of 314 Main. It was held in a family trust. And he says this was dissolved. He has a family friend at Main Street location doing work. I asked the guy who he was and when he was parking his vehicle. White Ford truck, California plates on my lot. He said he was a family friend helping out a family member. I asked if it was Winston Frost, and he said yes. So he has been there maybe 2 or 3 weeks now. They are inside and outside repairing the building. The building of the apartments is still ongoing. The door to the rear of the building was open and showed a full construction materials. I do believe that a friend stays there at night. So we sent a registered letter to Winston at his Arkansas address. It took a while, but it was forwarded to 314 Main Street and signed by a Mike Bryant. And the return card of the registered letters says mail is to be delivered to 314B Main Street. So I don't know what the relationship of all this is, but they are erecting apartments there. I asked this to be investigated, but as far as Winston answering an inquiry from Arkansas, I doubt it will happen. Yes, this is a zoning violation, and yes, I would like to have his encroachment parts removed from my lot. But as progress is ongoing and being ignored, the only way I see to get an answer is to toll to cease on this project. Can I ask your opinion? And I would like to ask the mayor if he would ask a cease and desist order on this over at the apartments until this is straightened out. Because there could be possible litigation issues if we don't cease and desist and just let this go on forward. Thank you.
Further council comment? Mr. Cruz.
Okay. Last council meeting, somebody in the gallery yelled, point of order. Point of order is only to be used by the mayor and the council member. It's not a public option for Robert's Rules of Order. A member of an assembly, in the parliamentary sense, is a person entitled to full participation in its proceedings. That is, the right to attend meetings, make motions, to speak, and debate, and to vote. So the gallery should not be making point of order motions. That's reserved for the members of the assembly. Just thought I'd throw that out there. There are several zoning violations that are going on in town besides 314 Main Street. There's an RV set up on 7th Street. Somebody's living in it. There's an RV set up behind 423 Riverside Drive with someone apparently living in it. That's why I asked who the zoning administrator was, because the zoning administrator should occasionally drive around town and look at things like this. You know. You also look at stuff like roofs being put on. I saw a roof going on the other day, and I saw no visible building permit. I didn't see a permit on listed on the building official's report tonight. So unfortunately, the job been done and it's all over with. That's money for the town. It's also an inspection requirement for the town. And it affects people's property values when the roofs aren't put on properly. So if you need help in the zoning administration division, I'm here to help. I've got quite a bit of experience in doing that. So don't hesitate to ask, but I will do it. Second thing, another thing, abandoned vehicles. There's some problems with abandoned vehicles around town. We got one moved because we kind of pitched in to help them move it, but there's a bunch of them. There's a Ford Taurus sitting down at the apartments across the street from 6th Street in Maine. It's been sitting there for, must be 4 years now. It's got so much dirt on it, you could probably drive a bulldozer on it. But, so there are abandoned vehicles all over town that need to be addressed. There's one over on 10th Street sitting in a driveway. Our development code says you either got to put a cover on it, you got to put a hedge around it, or you put a fence around it or something to hide it, because it detracts from people's property values. Just thought I'd throw that out there. I know that somebody around here made several complaints about that, and he's got no response from the police department, and that should be addressed. And I know this is a very sensitive subject for the mayor, but for your own protection, and I know it's coming to an end, but for your own protection, you need to have independent oversight and payroll. It is a dangerous thing for somebody to be the mayor and clerk and the finance officer. You need to have, somebody looking at that over your shoulders to protect your own self.
Payroll is second checked by the utility clerk.
By who?
The utility clerk. The direct deposits are sent to the bank. The bank independently verifies the amount with that person.
I would think, you know, it's kind of like the same situation that occurred when the previous mayor's daughter was working for the town. The mayor abstained from being her supervisor and put that duty on the council president. And that's one of the jobs the council president can do. Council president is a pretty powerful guy. Actually, he's a member of the council, but he can also fill in as a mayor. The mayor can't go the other way, so he's probably the most powerful guy in town. So, just you know, just throwing that out there. So it might not hurt to have somebody like the council president look over the shoulder just to make sure everything's on the up and up. Not to say it's not, but it's for your own protection and protection of the town.
The next payroll cycle will be run by someone completely different.
I understand.
And he'll double check everything and run back anyway.
And last but not least, welcome aboard to the new clerk. She has to start within 10 calendar days, right? By town ordinance.
Her first day is the 29th.
Okay. That's not in accordance with the town ordinance. Town ordinance says, and state law says, the position has to be assumed within 10 calendar days.
We'll swear in early.
Okay.
Further council comment, Mr. Michelson?
I have to concur with Mr. Cruz. I have been here twice, and I've asked you for the payroll, Mr. Mayor, and you have told me flatly no. And I came in a second time and asked you why I could not look at your payroll as oversight. As you know, you're getting $25 an hour up to 30 hours a week, and your mayoral pay. And I just wanted to give an independent eyesight over this. And I came in a second time, and you flat told me no again, and you told me to fill out a... In order to look at it, I would have to fill out a Freedom of Information Act. I was very disturbed by that. I've always been under the impression of transparency in a council, and I always thought a councilman could go through those doors, and it still blows me away as to why the council does not have a code to be able to go into that hallway and to be able to inspect what we want. A good example was a day of swearing in outside, and Mr. Marble came in here with me, and he went to punch the codes, and he looked at me, and he put his hand clearly over the codes and punched them right in front of me while he looked at me. It's almost like we don't belong in here, and I find that very disturbing. I don't think it's right, and I don't think that
you're being very transparent if you're not giving a council president or anybody in the council, and better yet, even the public, a chance to go in there and to review any records that they want, whether financial, resolutions. And I won't get into the past history because that's in the past, but moving forward, I would hope that we would be able to come in here at our whim, go into the office, and do what we want to do to conduct city business. Thank you.
Okay, further public or further council comments, excuse me. All right, board reports. I don't know if any boards other than the airport board met the other day. Mr. Michelson?
I wasn't able to make the airport board because...
Excuse us, we're not quite finished. If we could keep the rhetoric down for just a little bit. We're almost done. Go ahead, Mr. Michelson.
Mr. Craig Thomas called me today, and he said that at an airport meeting the other night, and he wanted me to tell the public that he wanted to give kudos to you, Mr. Mayor. There was something with some funding going on, and it had to be filled out in a timely fashion. He said that you went it through the first time, it got rejected, and then you worked the whole day on it, and it went through. And he wanted to let you know and let the public know that he was very impressed with the way you had did it, in a timely fashion, in a professional way. And he wanted to act on the behalf of the airport board and say thank you very much. And I would also like to say that Mr. Cruz is welcome to be on the airport board. He is asked to be on the airport board by Craig. And I would love to give up my duties being the airport board because I haven't been real consistent in going to them anyway. And you know that for a fact. And I would like to say that he could be on the airport board and I'd stay on planning and zoning. Thank you.
Okay. Other board reports? I think yours have met, have they?
Nope.
All right. Then I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Is there a second? All right, so moved. Second to be adjourned. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right, meeting's adjourned. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.